Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Colorado Avalanche beat reporter for ColoradoHockeyNow.com, podcaster for Mile High Sports, and I am checking in on a Sunday because the Avalanche are making move after move after move, and I want to talk some hockey. So this is a podcast that during the regular season, I will be going live quite a bit on Twitter or X or YouTube or whatever. But I felt that going head-to-head with the Raiders and Broncos probably isn't going to do much good for me going live. So we're going to do an audio version. I'm going to have this uploaded as soon as I'm done recording. Obviously, if you're listening to this, it's up, but it's not live. I will be doing that throughout the regular season, obviously. I'll start with the first move, and then I'll move to the trade. Starting with the first move on Saturday, the Avalanche made a waiver claim for a defenseman, knowing very well that Jared Bednar just last week was talking about the competition for the top six spots and mentioned Shillington and Brännström and Dahan and Malinsky all fighting for two spots, and went out of his way to say that the Avalanche are going to carry eight defensemen. He wasn't ashamed to he's not ashamed, but he wasn't afraid of the idea of saying, screw it, we'll carry all eight of these guys and see what happens. But what ended up happening was training camp continued and Bednar started to make these very minor comments about how players have not really stepped up, not really grabbed a hold of a roster spot. And after a couple years of just giving depth guys positions because they're under contract, the Avalanche just ultimately said enough is enough. At forward, you know, you can kind of hint at some of the guys Bednar's talking to, be it Jean-Luc Foudy, most likely Oscar Alaus, and even Jason Poulin. None of these guys grabbed a hold of a roster spot. Even with Pierre-Édouard Bellemare getting cut, the Avalanche only have 12 forwards who are under contract on the NHL roster as it currently stands right now. And I'm recording this podcast. It's currently halftime of the Broncos and Raiders game. So we're talking right around 4 p.m. Sunday, October 6th. The Avalanche have 12 forwards on their roster. At defense, you know, Malinsky's been playing well. Dahan, I don't want to give Dahan praise as much as I want to say he's been the best of the bunch with Brännström and Shillington. That's not to say that Dahan has been terrible, but he hasn't quite like earned the spot the way Malinsky has. He's the best of the three remaining guys. And as a veteran left shot guy, someone who can help a puck moving defenseman like Sam Malinsky, it's very obvious that that's kind of where Jared Bednar is steering towards here as we head toward opening night. Now, Brännström and Shillington, it felt like 4 or 5 days ago, the Avalanche were just going to carry eight defensemen and let one of these guys figure it out. But the more that we got through preseason, the less of a reality that became, simply because both Brännström and Shillington have not looked great at all. Bednar was very, you know, not pleased with either of them just whenever he was asked about them. And instead of waiting until, let's say, like last year, they waited until December before they said, okay, Tomas Tatar doesn't fit, let's get him out of here. They said, screw it, we're going to do something now. So it started Saturday. Defenseman John Ludvík picked up off waivers from the Pittsburgh Penguins. A guy that the Penguins used in, I believe, 33 games last year. A guy that fought, I want to say, five times, including for a 6'1" defenseman, a fight against Michael McCarron of the Nashville Predators, all of 6'6" Michael McCarron, I should say. And he plays a physical game, which, as we saw in the preseason, the Avalanche are lacking on the blue line. Outside of Josh Manson, they don't really seem to have much in terms of physicality. Physicality first. You know, Cale Makar plays a physical game. Devontae's plays a physical game. But really, Josh was that one guy. So they bring in John Ludvík, a 24-year-old who, for the second year in a row, just barely makes it on the opening night roster. In 2023, he was waived in the first or second week of October. I believe it was October 9th. He was waived by the eventual Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers because he was one of their final roster cuts. He gets waived, gets picked up by the Pittsburgh Penguins. They use him 33 times. The Pittsburgh Penguins, one of their final roster cuts on Friday, they waive him. He gets picked up by the Avalanche. But they bring him in, and suddenly they're at nine defensemen. So you just knew one of Shillington or Brännström were going to be gone. I figured it would be waivers, and I figured Bednar would say, screw this, you guys are just going to pay this guy to play in the minors, but apparently not. Apparently, the decision was instead made to trade one of these guys. I would have predicted Shillington, he makes $1.05 million. Brännström makes $900,000. The trade ended up being Erik Brännström, because that brings us to number two. Sunday morning, the Avalanche trade Erik Brännström to the Vancouver Canucks in exchange for Tucker Pullman, 31-year-old defenseman. I'll get to him in a second. Let's put a bookmark in his name. And a fourth-round draft pick in the 2025 NHL entry draft, which the more picks, the merrier for the Avalanche, because they don't got a lot of them. So let's start with Tucker Pullman, 31 years old. Pullman did not play a single game last season. He only played three games in 2022-23. His career is over, and it's already been announced, I should say, that he's not playing this entire upcoming season, 24-25. His career is ultimately over. He's done. He was traded by the Vancouver Canucks as a guy that will be an LTIR candidate. The Canucks also retained 20% of his salary to bring it down to $2 million. And they acquire Erik Brännström at $900K. They waive Erik Brännström. Ultimately, instead of paying, the way that I see it is this. Here is the quick way that I have kind of pieced it all together. And then I'll dive a little deeper into the article that I wrote for ColoradoHockeyNow.com earlier Sunday afternoon. The quick way of this story is to say, the Avalanche would have paid in real dollars Erik Brännström $900,000 to be in the American Hockey League. They decided, let's send him to Vancouver, acquire a fourth-round draft pick, which goes a long way leading up to the trade deadline, acquire a fourth-round draft pick, acquire Tucker Pullman with 20% retained, which is $500,000, so Tucker Pullman at $2 million, knowing very well, and I cannot confirm this obviously, but I'm just going to make the assumption that Tucker Pullman's contract is insured. The Avalanche aren't paying anything for him. The insurance will cover it. They get out of the money. So they save $900,000 in real dollars. They acquire a fourth-round draft pick. And as for their salary cap, let's dive into that. It doesn't really change anything with their salary cap, but it does change the way they're going to maneuver their salary cap. So let's get into it here. And I'm kind of going to be all over the place. Sorry about that. It's just it's one of those days here with the Avalanche. They also did sign Nikita Pristupov, the young Russian that they drafted in the seventh round this past year. Got an entry-level contract, and a very much deserved entry-level contract, because that dude looked great in training camp, all things considered, being a seventh rounder and a 20-year-old that was drafted. And that was me killing time to pull up my article. And here we go. So, again, no-brainer for the Canucks. They offload a fourth-rounder to no longer have to use LTIR space. They can accrue cap space leading up to the trade deadline. The Avalanche are in a little bit of a different scenario. Right now, if you look at the Avalanche's roster, and I'm going to include Nichushkin and Landeskog, I'm going to include Lehkonen, obviously, I'm going to include Tucker Pullman, I'm going to include Shillington, Ludvig, and DeHaan. So we're talking 12 forwards, 9 defensemen, 2 goaltenders. When you combine all of those 23 guys, which 23 is your maximum roster, knowing very well, let me just say, let me preface this by saying, Val Nichushkin is not going to be on the opening night roster. He's a non-roster player until he's reinstated, which can't happen until at the bare minimum November 13. So with those 23 guys, 12 forwards, 9 defensemen, 2 goaltenders, the Avalanche are at a total cap hit of $95,028,750. The cap ceiling is $88 million. So they are a little over $7 million over the cap ceiling. Now, as I explained, Val Nichushkin will not be on the 23-man starting roster. He will be a non-roster player. And because he is suspended and in the NHLPA assistance program, until he is reinstated, if he is reinstated, which can't happen again until at least November 13, Val Nichushkin's $6.125 million cap hit is not even going to count against the cap. So when you eliminate that, that puts the Avalanche at, these are all projections from Puckpedia, shout out to them, they do wonderful work. That would put the Avalanche at $88,903,750. So the Avalanche are, in fact, still $903,750 above the salary cap ceiling. This would be with 8 defensemen. The top four are the top four. Your third pair is Malinsky and DeHaan. Your extras are Shillington and Ludvig. This is with 8 defensemen, 12 forwards and 2 goalies. 12 forwards, obviously, taking out Val Nichushkin. So when you include Val, you're well over the cap. But until Val is reinstated, you're only 900K over the cap. So that says, oh, and while you're waiting on Val, you only have 12 forwards on the roster. So you got McKinnon, Rantanen, Nichushkin, Mittelstadt, Lehkonen, Colton, Drouin, Wood, O'Connor, Richie, Kovalenko, Ivan, Parker, Kiviranta. That adds up to 14. Arturi Lehkonen's going to start the season injured. Val Nichushkin's going to start the season suspended. You got 12 healthy forwards. So I am now putting together a lineup where it's 12 healthy forwards, 8 defensemen, and 2 goalies, and you're $900 and $3,750 above the salary cap ceiling. So what that says to me is the Avalanche still need a 13th forward. If you're listening to this Monday, if you're listening to this Monday afternoon, maybe they've already acquired a 13th forward, and maybe they've done that off of the waiver wire. Or maybe they look at the waiver wire today and they say there really isn't much options for us and we don't really like a lot of these guys, and they end up calling up a Jason Poulin or a Jean-Luc Foudy or something like that. I don't envision that to be the case. Maybe even Tynan or Wagner. I don't envision that to be the case. But it is obviously something that you cannot discount. Or maybe they do what they did today. They make another trade for a lower level player similar to this Brännström-Pullman trade. So you're already $900 and $3,000 over the cap. You need one more forward, which is probably going to cost you around $775,000 to $1 million, which $775,000 is, of course, the league minimum that a standard player can sign a contract for, and you know, up to about $1 million, $1 million and a little bit. That says to me that once you add a 13th forward, you need to clear up about $2 million in cap space. That's where placing Tucker Pullman on LTIR comes into play. The way LTIR works, if you are $1.5 million over the cap and you place Pullman on LTIR, it doesn't free up $2 million in cap space. It frees up $1.5 million in cap space. So you want to be as close as you possibly can be to the $2 million limit, assuming that Pullman's the guy going on LTIR, in order to maximize the usage of his LTIR space. So that's the way that I see it. There's also the possibility that maybe you trade Tucker Pullman, you combine a draft pick to him, kind of like what Vancouver did, and you bring in somebody else, maybe a fourth line center, wink, wink, Nico Sturm. That's the never-ending joke among Avalanche media, is that the Avalanche are going to bring back Nico Sturm. I don't envision that to be the case. I envision Tucker Pullman, who this is the last year of his contract. I envision this to be a case where the Avalanche place him on LTIR. They get as close as they can to $2 million before doing so. Because right now, if they place him on LTIR, it's only going to free up $900K. It's going to wash away the overage that they are currently on the cap space for a 21-man roster. Obviously, that's not going to be the case, because while having 8 defensemen sounds fine and dandy, you're not going into the season with 12 forwards. They're going to bring in another guy. They're going to make him earn up to as much as you possibly can to get to that $2 million maximizing LTIR. Now, if or when Landeskog comes back, things get a lot more interesting, because if or when Nichushkin comes back, things get a lot more interesting, because if Nichushkin comes back and Landeskog is not placed on LTIR, you're $5 million over the cap. So you got to make a move anyway. Even with Pullman off, you'll be more like 4-9 or something like that. So there are moves coming if Nichushkin and Landeskog are healthy. It could simply be we send down all of our extras, we carry 12 forwards, 6 defensemen, we play the salary cap paper transaction game, hope to God you don't wake up one day and one of your forwards is sick or something and you don't have enough cap space to call up an extra forward and you're playing a shortened roster for that day. You just kind of play the salary cap game leading up to the playoffs when the salary cap no longer matters. But we'll bark up that tree when we know more about Landeskog. Right now, what we do know is Arturi Lehkonen is not expected to miss a lot of time. His $4.5 million will continue to count against the cap, and it is in all of the numbers that I'm spewing out to you. Val Nichushkin, his $6.125 will count against the cap as soon as he is reinstated. It is still not clear to me if his cap is going to be prorated or not, because if it is prorated, it'll be roughly closer to $5 million rather than $6.125. That's something that we haven't gotten clarity on. That's something that I would love to ask Chris McFarland about, but obviously we cannot do that until he speaks, which I'm assuming will either be opening night or the home opener. which for my case, I'm hoping is the home opener because I will not be in Vegas on Wednesday for opening night. But even if I'm not there, I'm sure somebody will ask about that. It's kind of something that a lot of us media have been talking about all summer. So the Avalanche, knowing very well that they're already probably going to dip into LTIR, didn't see the case to want to accrue cap space the way Vancouver is leading up to the trade deadline, because you're screwed and you're using this mechanism anyway. And if you're using the mechanism anyway, you may as well get a fourth round draft pick. You may as well not pay Eric Brandstrom. And the reality is, they've soured on the kid. He's not playing with physicality. He's been inconsistent in camp. He's done nothing to earn a roster spot, not even in the top six in playing time, but a roster spot in general among the 7 and 8 defensemen that are going to be carried probably to start the year for the Avs. Shillington, same thing, but Shillington makes a little bit more, has higher upside. We'll see what happens there. He's obviously had a rough go the last couple years and a very rough go getting to Denver just to get set up for training camp, which he was a day late for. So a lot going on there, a lot of moving parts. But ultimately, with Val's 6.125 off the books, with Pullman on waivers, with Pullman on LTIR, you have a little bit of space, you have a little bit of flexibility and some time to kind of kick the can down the road until November 13 before you decide how many defensemen are we carrying this season, which defensemen are we carrying this season. Is Shillington going to stay on this team? Hell, you need to also remember John Ludvig is not a guarantee at all either. Like, maybe they pick him up, they play him a few times, and they say this guy stinks and they throw him on waivers. Will Ludvig be one of the eight? Will Shillington be one of the eight? Will they even carry eight? Who's going to be the 12th forward or the 13th forward? Or hell, who are going to be 10, 11, and 12? Because we don't know how long Ivan's going to be in the lineup. We don't know if Cal Rich is playing more than nine games. There is just an insane amount of movement in this roster this season that we are going to see that is going to surpass what we saw last year, that is going to surpass what we saw in 2023, where it felt like every other week the Avalanche were picking up some dude off waivers or throwing some guy on waivers like Dryden Hunt. So that's where the Avalanche are. It's going to be a tough regular season in that way. What you could hope for from this team is, number one, you have the reigning Hart Trophy winner who seems to be better every single year. I would not be surprised in the least bit, even if it sounds outrageous to say out loud in the beginning, if Nathan MacKinnon finds a way to surpass the 140 points he had last season. He's that damn good. The NHL is that damn good right now. The Stars are doing their thing, and it seems like every year these guys are elevating their game. The McDavids, the MacKinnons, the Kucherovs on defense, the Quinn Hugheses of the world and the Kale McCars of the world, the Miro Heiskanens, the Rasmus Dahlins, the Charlie McAvoys, all of these guys seem to be elevating. So you have the reigning Hart Trophy winner, who you're hoping will put up numbers similar to that. You have Mikko Rantanen, who's good for 40 to 50 goals, 100 points. Even when he's having a down game, it seems like you look at the score sheet, he's got a goal and two assists. That's the Mikko Rantanen special, as I call it. You have Jonathan Drouin, who's coming into a full season now. If Jonathan Drouin put up 59 points last year and it took him 10 games to get used to the system and get acclimated before he was even playing permanent roster minutes, and then it took months until he was permanently with Nathan MacKinnon, then you feel pretty damn good about having Jonathan Drouin for a full season. So can he surpass 59? Can he get into the 60s? Can he get into the 70s? Arturi Lehkonen, if or when he's healthy, does he need time to catch up to speed? This guy's dealt with a lot of injuries the last two seasons since the Stanley Cup. You hope he's healthy. When Val Nichushkin comes back, is he going to continue to be Val Nichushkin? In my opinion, yes. If the team welcomes him in, yes. Val is a unicorn. He is a one of one in the NHL. And then, of course, how could I forget Casey Mittelstadt? I'll have more on him tomorrow. I got some exciting work being done behind the scenes with Casey Mittelstadt on Monday. But a second-line center, a true second-line center, one that you know fits into your system, one that you saw in the playoffs elevate his game. So where will he be this season? He's got a full training camp under his belt now. He's not Ryan Johansson. He's young Casey Mittelstadt. Then you have the rookies, Cal Ritchie and Kovalenko. You got the roaring 20s line, and then you got some depth pieces, the Ivan Ivans and the Parker Kellys and the Yoel Kivirantas and all these guys that might jump into the top nine if you need them in a pinch, kind of like Kiviranta did last year playing with the not O'Connor, but the Colton and Wood pairing when O'Connor was injured for the playoffs. So there's a lot of movement happening. There's a lot of question marks. And it's going to be interesting and fascinating to watch. I think this is going to be similar to last year, where the Avalanche last year didn't quite have a full lineup until the playoffs, or in fact, until March 6th or March 7th, leading up to the trade deadline, when they traded Byram for Mittelstadt, when they swapped Johansson and a first for Sean Walker, when they went out and added Trennan and Duhaime, and then obviously Logan O'Connor was announced injured the next day, and that's why they had acquired both Trennan and Duhaime and not just Trennan. When they got Val Nichushkin back, because that happened the same day as Mittelstadt's debut and Trennan and Duhaime's debuts with the team and Sean Walker and all those guys. That's when you truly looked at the Avalanche roster and you said they have a roster, they have a lineup, and they have a team ready to compete for the Stanley Cup, and it just might be that way again this season. The biggest question that I have, you don't have Val Nichushkin in the lineup. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but if you've been following me for the last three seasons, you'll see a lot of tweets where I tweet out the Avalanche's record with Val compared to without Val each season. And they are like, if I remember correctly, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but since the Stanley Cup year, 21-22, 22-23, 23-24, the last three seasons combined, there's something like a 125-point team with Val in the lineup and like a 90-point team without him. So is that going to happen again? Or will having a second-line center in Mittelstadt, which you haven't had since Kadri, or will having Jonathan Drouin for a full season, some rookies and young life injected into the lineup, Lehkonen, hopefully Val, Mikko and Nate doing their thing, Nate coming off an MVP. Will all of those things account to offset the loss of Val for the first 16-plus games of the regular season? A lot of question marks, a lot to figure out. Can they get to the trade deadline still in a playoff position? Last year, they didn't win the division. They didn't even have home ice advantage in the first round. They started in Winnipeg, and it didn't matter. They creamed them because the roster that they built leading up to that March 8 trade deadline was miles ahead of the Winnipeg Jets. So that seems to be the case this year again. You know, it's out of their control. They lost some guys to injury. They lost some guys in free agency, all the trade deadline acquisitions minus Casey Mittelstadt. The Val Nichushkin suspension, still waiting on Gabe Landeskog and what happens with his $7 million, which in all the projections that I gave out, he's still counting against it, like I said. But for how long will he play this season? How good will he be? A lot of question marks. It's going to be a fun ride. All I could say is if you're taking bets on the Avalanche in the regular season, I can't help you. It's going to be a very, very interesting 5 or 6 months until the trade deadline. But I think by then we'll have a better answer of where Nichushkin fits and if he fits and if he's reinstated and if the team wants him. We'll have a clearer picture of Gabe Landeskog and, you know, if he's healthy and where he's playing and all of that. All of those things will kind of make more sense by then. Probably before then, to be honest with you. But until then, it is going to be a fascinating roster to watch, a fascinating team to watch. But one that still, once the trade deadline is all said and done in March, you expect to have a roster that's going to contend for the Stanley Cup. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm going to put a pin in the podcast right over here. Again, I'm recording on Sunday during the Broncos and Raiders game. Of course, going live probably wouldn't have been the best idea. But this is Arif Dean, beat writer for Colorado Hockey Now, podcaster for Mile High Sports. I'm so damn excited for the regular season. It's right around the corner. If you're not subscribed to this podcast, please subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on any podcatcher that you use now. If you're not subscribed already, subscribe to the Mile High Sports YouTube page. That's where all my podcast videos will be moving forward when the regular season begins. If you're not following me on Twitter/X, I'm at RunRightArif, RunRiteArif. If you're not already a subscriber for Colorado Hockey Now, please click on that. Please subscribe. I have subscription-based content specifically for the subscribers and then ad-free content for you for all the other content on the website. I'm so pumped. I'm so excited. Let's get hockey going. That's it for today, and I'm going to stop blabbing here. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little hearts. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out you.